Turn to the chapter 3, the Gospel of John, and the chapter 3. And as you turn up the portion, I want to thank your minister and the office bearers here for the invitation to come along to conduct this Gospel campaign. And it certainly is a privilege to be asked to come and to preach the Word of God. And we've been looking forward to it. We're looking to the Lord that He would draw near to us in this special time, and that precious souls would indeed be the saved of the Lord. I know there are those that have been working hard already and planning and preparing for the gospel mission, and that which seems to be a long way off, all of a sudden it comes upon you. And we're grateful to those who have labored already, and we look to the Lord together. Those that have prayed, we do thank you for that. And we know that prayer time is not wasted time, that the Lord will hear our prayer and the Lord will answer. And I do believe that through efforts like this and the gospel, that there are times of visitation from the Lord, times when the Lord draws near to areas, draws near to congregations, draws near to individuals, and it's an opportunity to seek the Lord and to get right with the Lord. And we trust that the Lord Himself will be pleased to hear and answer prayer on behalf of souls in this district. We're very conscious as we come that one can plant and another can water, but it's God alone that giveth the increase. And so let's continue together through the gospel mission to look to the Lord that He would indeed give the increase. I'm glad to see you here this evening, and I trust that you will make that special effort. It's a concentrated effort over the next couple of weeks. We've just completed a gospel mission in our own church in Dromore. That was going for 2 weeks, and it finished last Lord's Day evening. So I've had the weekend between, and we commence again another gospel campaign. So it is a concerted effort together. I encourage you, if at all possible, come out to the meetings, and when you're coming, encourage others and invite others to come. I know we can cover vast areas with invitations, but there's nothing beats that personal invitation, that verbal invitation. And so you go to family, to friends, to neighbours, to work colleagues, and you encourage them to come. And we look to the Lord that He will give the increase. Now we're coming tonight. The Lord has laid this particular portion upon my heart for this evening in John chapter 3. And those who are familiar with the Word of God will know what is contained in John chapter 3. It's fundamental. It's the whole purpose as to why we have gospel campaigns like this. It's the fundamental truth. And it brings before us here what is the necessity of the new birth. And that's what I want us to think about tonight, the necessity of the new birth. And nothing else is sufficient. Nothing else can be substituted for the new birth. And that's what we learn about here in John chapter 3. Let's commence our reading at the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We'll just end our reading there at verse 8, and may the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious word. I centre our thoughts this evening upon the verse 7, very familiar words, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And these words are bringing before us the necessity of the new birth. And as we think about that tonight, let's just bow together in a brief word of prayer. We're looking to the Lord that he would give help, that he would draw near in the preaching of his word this evening. Our God and our Father, we do praise and thank thee for this gospel campaign and for this gospel meeting tonight. And we do ask, O God, that in the stillness thou thyself would draw near by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and that the very word, O God, that we've read and that we would come to meditate upon might be a word in season to some needy heart tonight. Lord, speak, we pray, that we might know even before our eyes the miracle of the new birth, that souls would be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, draw near, grant to our hearts this evening that help of God the Holy Spirit, and in everything that would be said and done, that the Saviour alone would of all the preeminence do hear and answer prayer. We offer it in the Saviour's great name. Amen. The words of our text this evening were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. And the words of our text shook Nicodemus to the very core of his being, because the Lord had put his finger upon the very problem in the life and heart of Nicodemus. The Lord was putting his finger upon the deepest need of this man. And whenever you think about it this evening, and I know that most of you would be so familiar with this portion of Scripture, but here we have a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a man who had a reverence for the Lord because he called him Rabbi. And he referred to him as a teacher who was come from God. And he acknowledged the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed. And he acknowledged that the Lord was with him. But yet Nicodemus had never experienced the new birth. Nicodemus was not saved. Nicodemus had never been born again. And as the Lord Jesus Christ repeated this great necessity to this man, it shook him to the very foundation of his being. And in this chapter of God's word this evening, we come to what is at the very heart of the gospel. As I've indicated already, we come here to look at this great fundamental truth, which is really the whole aim and purpose behind this effort in the gospel. It is to reach out with this message of redeeming grace that man who is dead in trespasses and in sins is in need of the new birth. Man needs to be born again. And Nicodemus is a tremendous example to us of this this evening. And I want us to look at this, what is a very familiar account. And we look here to this story in God's word to see the necessity of the new birth. Now, with a few points tonight that I would like to briefly leave before you. Firstly, we look at the man. And whenever we think about the man here, some details are given about Nicodemus. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. And therefore we learn right away about this particular man that he was a religious man. He belonged to the sect of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees would have been that group of fanatical Jews. They were very particular. particular about the letter of the law. And Phariseeism became the religion of the self-righteous. And this particular group, known as the Pharisees, they exercised an extraordinary influence over the people. They were a group who knew the law, and they had a very accurate acquaintance with the law. The very minutest detail. They became the accepted interpreters of the law. The Pharisees did believe that the soul lived on after death, but it was their belief that only the most obedient would obtain a place in heaven. And so they had this desire to try by their own efforts and to try by their own works to please God. And in many ways they lived a very strict life, and they adopted many religious practices. Now if you were to observe the Pharisee, you would see that they had those daily acts of devotion. They had special seasons of prayer. They had all of the trappings of religion. Yet the Savior is showing to us here that they were a people who had not been born again. They didn't know the Lord. And this is a passage of Scripture that is emphasizing to us that you can be religious. Yeah, you can be very religious. And you could have adopted many religious practices, but if you have never experienced the new birth, if you have never come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then tonight you're lost. And you're not on your way to heaven. And with the words of our text, we would say, ye must be born again. You could think of people like old Saul of Tarsus, and whenever he gave his testimony and he was pointing out his background and his pedigree, he said, as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. My, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was so religious. My, he was a religious fanatic. But religion in itself does not save. And surely that is proved to us here, that religion in itself does not save. You can have religion without the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading of Bishop John Taylor Smith, and he was the Chaplain General of the British Army during the First World War, which is now 100 years ago. And 100 years ago, this Chaplain General of the British Army was preaching on a particular occasion in a large cathedral, and he was preaching on this particular text of Scripture, that ye must be born again, and except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he was wanting to drive home the message, the necessity of the new birth. And he looked around that vast congregation and he said, my dear people, do not substitute anything for the new birth. You may be a member of a church or a congregation, but church membership and church attendance is not the new birth. And he kept repeating those words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And over on his left-hand side sat the archdeacon, and the archdeacon was in his little stall. And Bishop John Taylor Smith said, as he looked over to the archdeacon, you might even be an archdeacon like my friend is in his stall and not be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he pointed to himself and he said, you could even be like me, you could be a bishop. But if you've never been born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. He was driving home the point. A few days after that meeting, he got a letter. It was a letter from the archdeacon. And the archdeacon wrote in that letter, my dear bishop, you have found me out. I have found me out. I have been a clergyman for over 30 years, but I had never known anything of the joy that Christians speak of. I had never known anything of the new birth. I am an archdeacon, a clergyman for 30 years, religious but lost. He went on in the letter to request of Bishop Smith that he could meet with him. And Bishop Smith was able to say later, the next day we went over the Word of God, and after some hours we were both on our knees, the archdeacon taking his place before God as a poor lost sinner and telling the Lord Jesus he would trust him as his Savior. And he said, and from that time on everything has been different. Now do you see it again tonight? It's not religion that saves. It's the new birth. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here as we look into John chapter 3, we see a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. But he wasn't saved. Could it be tonight that here in the Free Presbyterian Church in Achillea, at the very first meeting of this gospel campaign, there's someone, and you could have sat for years under sound gospel preaching, and you could have attended church, and to others looking on, they may even think you're saved, and you would have that outward show in the flesh of religion. But you know in your heart of hearts tonight, you've never been born again. You've never come the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I use the words of this text tonight? Ye must. There's no way around that. Ye must be born again. And so we can see this man was religious, but he was lost. He was not only a religious man, he was a respected man. May these Pharisees, they were looked up to in the community. Every member of society would have treated them with the utmost honor and the greatest esteem. He was a ruler of the Jews, and therefore his fellow Jews would have given him the utmost respect. Here was the chief governing body of the nation, and this man was a member of it. You think of the Sanhedrin in John chapter 7. And the verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. And so this man that we're thinking about, this man who was religious, this man was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an outstanding and an upstanding member of society. And as others looked upon him, they would have thought, well, if anybody's going to heaven, it must be Nicodemus. Such respect he had. Maybe in this community or the community in which you live, they would look upon you and see you going out to God's house on the Lord's day, and they would see that you live that decent, upright, honest life. And they would think, well, that they're so religious and they're so respectable. But you know in your heart of hearts tonight, you've never been born again. Something else that we can determine about this man. Not only was he religious and respectable, but he was rich. It doesn't really come out here in our text of Scripture. We could only surmise really from John chapter 3. But Alfred Edersham, he tells of a Nicodemus in the Talmud. And that's the Jews' holiest book. And here's what Alfred Edersham says. He was one of the most rich and distinguished citizens of Jerusalem. That's what he said of Nicodemus. And we would believe it was this Nicodemus that he was speaking about. One of the most rich and distinguished citizens of Jerusalem. While we perhaps don't have the hard evidence or proof, it is most probable that it's the same Nicodemus he's referring to. Whenever you come over to John chapter 19, and you find that when they were taking there the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the verse 39 of John 19, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And when they're bringing the spices here to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Nicodemus bringing them to the point where they're 100 pound in weight. You think about that. That would have cost a considerable amount of money to have spices to the weight of 100 pounds. And so here's a man who seemed to be quite well off. To those looking on, they would have thought, he has everything. He's religious. He's respectable. He's rich. But the Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now tonight you could have all of those things and you could be lost, still not saved, still not on your way to heaven. And when we look at this man, that's what he had, a man who was religious, respectable and rich, but he still wasn't saved. And it proves that these things don't save. Religion doesn't save you. Your respectability, your self-righteousness will not save you. Your riches, no matter how much you give to charity or give to the church, it will not save you. The necessity is you must be born again. And nothing short of that will take you to heaven. And so we've thought a little bit about the man. But think secondly about the message. The message is given in verse 3. It's preceded with those words, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or amen, amen. It's the Lord putting his stamp upon it, and you can be sure when you read those words, verily, verily, there's something of great importance to follow. What was the message? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then our text in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And it's being repeated here in John chapter 3, over and over again, the same message. The necessity of the new birth. Nicodemus heard about it. He was puzzled. Didn't fully understand what the Lord was referring to. But when Nicodemus came to the Lord with his question, he didn't say why. When the Lord was saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, you would have thought Nicodemus would have said, why is that? But he didn't ask why. And we could suggest this evening, perhaps Nicodemus would have been thinking to himself, you know, that's what it takes. It must be something like a new birth. Because I've got everything else and I've tried everything else. I've tried religious practices. I've tried to be as respectable as it's possible to be, and I've got riches and wealth that this world has to offer, but I know I don't have peace with God. There must be something more. A new birth. He didn't ask why. He asked how. How? Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He's asking the question, how? He didn't fully understand it, but for his benefit and for ours, the Lord will explain the message. And the Lord shows us in the verses that we have read, it's a spiritual birth. It's not being born of the flesh. It's not entering a second time into your mother's womb to be born. It's a spiritual birth. It's speaking about new life in the soul. It's a life that is imparted by the work of God, the Holy Spirit. It's the quickening power, the regenerating power, whereby the Lord implants and imparts that spiritual life to our hearts. We're born again. And that's what's required tonight, a spiritual birth. Being born from above. Being born again. It is required because naturally, that life is not in the soul of man. We're spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, and we need to be born again. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And man is a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. And our hearts and our lives need that spiritual life. It doesn't come through any work of the flesh. It's not a work that we ourselves can produce that life. It must come from God. That's the message of this book. And whenever you look there at verse 3 or at verse 7 with the marginal reference in your Bible, if you have a margin, you'll see that it says there that being born again could be interpreted being born from above. Why, it's the work of God Himself. You're being born from above. God is imparting and implanting that spiritual life within your heart, and it's a spiritual birth that is required to fit us for heaven. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of this book. And that's a message that needs to be guarded today. We need to hear the clear sound of the gospel. Ye must be born again. Now, whenever you think about the trumpet and how the trumpet is used, the trumpet is used for the soldier to awaken the soldier. The trumpet is used to give out that alarm that there's danger. The trumpet is used in battle to advance or to withdraw, and the trumpet must give a certain sound. If the trumpet starts to give an uncertain sound, it brings confusion. The difficulty today is that there are those churches and pulpits and so-called preachers who are giving forth an uncertain sound. They're not giving out the clear message, ye must be born again. And therefore, we need to guard this message today. We need to have gospel campaigns such as this campaign. And we need to herald forth the message of the gospel, and those who are lost and without God and without hope in this world, they need to hear the message, the necessity of the new birth. Ye must be born again. And let's not mingle that message with any error. Let's keep that clear and certain sound trumpeting forth, lest there would be those who think that acts of religion are enough, or being an upstanding, respectable member of society will be enough to get to heaven, or being charitable and being a good neighbor will be enough to get to heaven. No, let's make the message clear and plain. You must be born again. That's the message here. It's a great necessity. I want you to think in the third place about the means. We've already noticed that Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? And if you look at verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water and born of the Spirit. The water here being referred to is not the water of baptism, it's the water of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul used that same illustration in Ephesians 5 and 26 when he spoke about the washing of water by the Word. The psalmist asked the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy Word. The Word of God is that cleansing and that purifying effect. The Lord said to His disciples in John 15 and the verse 2, now ye are clean through the Word. And therefore the message of the gospel, the message that ye must be born again, that's the word of God going forth. That's the message today that we're preaching from this pulpit in this gospel campaign. That's the message that we want to spread abroad. You must hear the word of God. Born of water and born of the Spirit. And the one accompanies the other. The word, the preaching of the word, accompanied by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit applies that word, that living word, to the hearts of individuals. Whereby there are those who are still in their natural, sinful condition, and they hear the word of God. And the Holy Spirit applies that word to their hearts, and they're brought under conviction of sin. And they realize that if they were to leave this scene of time and go out into eternity, they would be lost forever in hell. But the Spirit of God reveals to them the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. The only refuge, the only hope for their soul, and that He has accomplished that great work upon the center tree, and He has paid the price of our redemption. He has become the substitute for sinners, taking His sin and their punishment upon His own body. And therefore, when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest upon His finished work, we can know, we can experience His so great salvation. Now that's the means. The ordained means that God has given is that by the foolishness of preaching, it has pleased God to save them that believe. Though that tonight, if there's one unsaved in this meeting, that you would come to close in with the Savior, you would accept His offer of mercy in the gospel, and that you would close in with Him, and you would know tonight your sins forgiven, and know that it's well with your soul, and know that you're on your way to heaven, the means of salvation. But I want you to think finally about the moment. Because when we're speaking here about a birth, now we know that birth is marked by the time just when that birth would take place. And it takes place, the actual birth, there might be much of a lead up to it, but whenever it comes, it's in an instant, it's in a moment of time. And notice how the Lord illustrates that as you would read on in John chapter 3. The Lord shows us here that salvation and the new birth is in just a moment of time. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. There's an Old Testament story referred to that we'll not take time to go into tonight, but the Israelites were in the wilderness. They sinned against the Lord. The Lord sent the fiery serpents among them, and those who were bitten by the fiery serpents, they were dying. And in the wilderness, they were dying in their droves. And they cried to Moses, who cried to God, and God gave them direction. God gave them a remedy. And God said to Moses, take a serpent of brass, make the serpent out of brass, put it upon a pole, put it up in the midst of the camp. And all who will look will be healed. You've just to look to the serpent that's lifted up upon the pole, and you'll live. And from anywhere in that camp, no matter where they were situated, they just had to look to that serpent upon the pole, and they lived. It was simple. It was in a moment. And as the Lord continued here His conversation with Nicodemus, the Lord said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And He was speaking, of course, about Calvary. And about the Savior being lifted up upon that center tree. And this evening, all who will look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ will be gloriously saved. Now, there's nothing more simple tonight than a look It's just a look of faith. But if it is that true, genuine, sincere faith that is placed alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a saving faith. Just believing upon Him. As you look down John chapter 3, just notice the emphasis that is put upon believing, that saving faith. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at it in verse 16. The word believeth appears again. This golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you could come right down to the very end of the chapter, to the final verse of the chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. Can I ask you tonight, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your soul? Now, what a gulf of difference there is here between believing and not believing. That's the key. That's the key to the new birth. Believing or not believing. And it's the difference tonight between heaven and hell. And I urge upon you that if tonight finds you outside of Christ and you're not saved, that even this very night you would not go away. You would not leave this meeting house tonight without knowing that you're saved, without knowing that you have been born again. For except a man or woman or young person, boy or girl, be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. George Whitefield was 16 years of age when he became deeply convicted of his sin. And he tried everything possible to erase that feeling of guilt. He tried all kinds of religious activity. Whenever he later gave a word of testimony, he said, I fasted for 36 hours twice a week. I prayed formal prayers several times a day and almost starved myself to death during Lent, but only felt more miserable. Then by God's grace I met Charles Wesley, he said, who put a book in my hand which showed me from the scriptures that I must be born again or be eternally lost. George Whitefield said, finally, by the work of the Holy Spirit, he came to understand the words in John chapter 3. You must be born again. And he said he got gloriously saved. And afterwards, when the Lord called him to be a preacher of the gospel, we learn that he preached at least 1,000 times on this particular portion of Scripture, on this particular truth, ye must be born again. Why did he do that? I think he was asked that question, why do you preach so often on John 3 verse 7, ye must be born again? And his answer was, because you must be born again. He fervently desired that all who heard him might experience the transforming power of God's grace. For those tonight who have prayed for the gospel mission, if you're here and you're not saved, they've prayed for you. I believe whenever we come to gospel campaigns that sometimes the Lord puts a name or names upon that gospel mission. And it's the opportunity that God gives for them to come and to close in with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be of help to you after the meeting is over tonight, do speak to me or the Reverend Salt at the door, or perhaps a believer that you're with. We wouldn't want to embarrass you in any way, but we would want to open up the Scriptures with you and to show you tonight how you can be saved and how you can know it as well with your soul. But don't go away without the Savior. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight.